Welcome to Houseplant Homebody. I'm your host, Holly, and I'm here to talk about all things plants. Are you ready? Welcome to Season 1, Episode 84, all about watering explained. So this, I think, is one of the most complicated topics to articulate because it is so hard to tell you how much to water when there are so many different factors to take into mind. So this is something I believe that needs to be practiced and learned. It's not necessarily something that I can just explain and answer every single one of your questions in this podcast episode. So I know you might not be as satisfied at the end of this episode as you may be hoping, but I'm hoping the tools that I'll give you and the factors to think about will help you to really figure out exactly how much water needs to be had for each plant, for each situation that you might be having. So for me, working at the garden center is actually where I learned all these skills pretty quickly. And they don't necessarily translate directly to my own home since the environment and everything is so much different. A garden center, it's extremely hot and humid in a greenhouse. Everything is almost constantly outside plant-wise, so everything gets dried out really, really quickly in the summertime. Therefore, we are watering almost every day, if not multiple times a day, depending on how hot it is. That is definitely not happening at your home. In the greenhouse, humidity is so high that the water is just like evaporating. It's like going nowhere. But the one thing I learned in the garden center that has stuck, that is the same mentality, is it is better to water deeper less often, meaning you want to soak your plant once instead of watering just a little bit every single time. And you can take that theory with your house plants, at least most of them, not all of them, most of them, and your landscape plants. So you don't want to be watering your perennials that you just planted every single day a little bit. You want to water them once and then water them again in like 4 to 5 days. Watering them deep would allow them to hold the moisture and allow them to get used to their environment more. Same concept with houseplants too. There are some exceptions, we'll go over those. But I thought I would kind of explain a few different things. I think I'll go over different moisture levels and kind of what they mean, super general definition of them, the factors to consider when watering, and then how do you know when to water? So I think we'll go over all of those in great detail. And then I have one good Instagram question that was actually multiple questions again that we'll go over even just a little bit specific questions. So let's go into what are the different types of moisture levels. So when I say moisture levels, I mean what I'm describing on my own podcast episodes: low moisture, medium, and high moisture. And sometimes there's a split difference between those as well. So low moisture is when the plant soil can be completely dried out in between watering, or at least very, very close to it. This typically means these plants don't need a ton of moisture, and if they are underwater, they can bounce back really easily, and they will struggle significantly, and it will be detrimental to their health if they're overwatered. This is like a cacti, succulent, or at least most succulents, snake plants, ZZ, all of those can go very, very long without watering and really bounce back from being underwatered. But if you overwatered, it can kill them. So that's low moisture. Medium moisture is where it gets kind of complicated, because this is when you don't want the plant to completely dry out, but you also don't want it to be completely saturated either. So it's the happy medium. This is the one where the plants will show signs of struggling when they are starting to get a little bit underwatered or go kind of dip into that low moisture. So Syngonium is actually, I believe, a really good example that it kind of toes the line of medium to high moisture. They flop over when they need watering, but they're not as high maintenance as like a peace lily does. I think that's high moisture. Versus like a ficus. So like ficus lyrata or rubber plant do need medium moisture. You don't want those to be underwatered because there will be significant consequences with the foliage if you underwater it. Same with some philodendron too. And I believe Hoya. Hoya usually look okay no matter what, but their leaves can get wrinkly if they are in the low end of the moisture. So medium moisture is just, there's got to be that happy medium. Usually if you're letting them dry too much, there's a consequence with the foliage. So that's medium moisture. High moisture is the last one, and this is when the plant needs consistent moisture. It cannot be left dry at all. If it is dried out, it could mean death or bad things for the plant in general. So great example is, like I said, peace lily needs high moisture, otherwise it will just look very sad, wilted completely. There will be consequences to the foliage and the actual plant's health. Boston fern is another great example. In that kind of situation, any kind of underwatering will cause all of the leaves to turn brown and they will drop and turn into one little bare stem, and it's not cute, and the center of the plant just turns brown. Another one which we just reviewed is actually pitcher plant. Those need a lot more moisture to survive and produce the pitchers. Nerve plant is another good one, very dramatic, and my favorite one is maidenhair fern. Maidenhair fern probably should be classified as high moisture because they could be sitting in water and they'd be happy. So that one, even if you get it dry a little bit, it will die. So those are what high moisture means. Any kind of dryness really at all is severe consequences to the actual foliage, if not the plant dying. So those are kind of the levels. I know there's not a big difference in between them, but hopefully that gives you a better understanding of what I'm talking about when I'm saying low, medium, or high moisture in the blog and podcast episodes. Okay, let's jump into the factors to consider when watering. There's a few of them that I have for you. So the three main factors I have are medium, container pottery, and lighting. So the medium is important. The questions I have listed on the website are something to think about is, do you have a well-draining soil that has some kind of mixture of perlite, pumice, sand, or bark in it? Or do you have a moisture-retaining soil that excludes any of those additives? Are you using a different medium completely that's not soil, like moss or bark? So all of those things are really important to consider when watering. So anything that likes low moisture or is epiphytic in nature even prefers to have something with the additive or the extra texture usually, or anything that allows more oxygen and airflow into the soil. So perlite is usually what I am using to mix in a normal potting mix. I also like to use bark once in a while for plants that really, really need it, like an orchid and stuff like that. But I know a lot of people will use charcoal, chunky perlite, bark, pumice, sand, any of those things in their mixture, along with moss. Typically, people like to use sphagnum peat moss too, just to add a little bit of moisture retention, but still have the extra airflow in there. So those are all things to consider. If you need a plant that needs to retain moisture, like a peace lily, maidenhair fern, anything like that, you don't really want to add much of those things in there. Obviously, a draining soil is important. You don't want it to be waterlogged, but you don't want the water just to go straight through. You still want it to retain some kind of moisture. So typically with maidenhair fern, for example, I will probably just use my normal potting mix. I won't add anything else to it. I typically use Fox Farms potting mix, which I have a little bit of perlite mixed up in there already, but I don't add extra perlite like I normally do in a situation like that, or with the peace lily or Boston fern either. The second thing to consider is the container or pottery. That's really important when figuring out what plant is going where. For example, are you using a material that absorbs moisture, like terracotta? Or do you have pottery that's glazed on the inside and the outside? Or are you using plastic pottery? Or is your plastic pot in a cash pot? So all of those different things determine how the soil and the plant is absorbing moisture or retaining the moisture. So for example, if you have a terracotta pot, terracotta absorbs moisture. So if you have a plant that doesn't like to be overwatered, that is a great pot to use for a cacti, succulent, snake plant, because if you accidentally overwater or something, or you're watering too much, that's what overwatering means, then terracotta is a really good example of something to use. So that way it helps take away that moisture and it's absorbing it into the pot and not just staying in the soil in the plant. If you have a glazed pot, that's fine. If it's glazed on the outside, that's great, but the inside is what matters. So if the glazed is only on the outside, it's not in the inside, that pot is also absorbing moisture on the inside. If it's glazed on the inside, doesn't matter, it's not absorbing water, then it's just going to be staying in the soil and on the plant. Same with plastic pots. Plastic pots are great if you need a moisture retaining plant as well. So typically for like a Peacefully Boston Fern maiden hair fern, I'm only using plastic pots, or I'm using inside glazed pots, because those are gonna allow the moisture to stay in the soil, not be absorbed in the actual pottery. And then furthermore, for something like a maiden hair fern, I'll typically do the plastic pot with the cash pot, where there will be water sitting in the bottom of it, in the bottom of the cash pot. This is something to keep in mind so you're not overwatering plants either. So if you have a snake plant in a pretty plastic pot and you put it in a cash pot, which cash pot just means it's a pot that looks pretty to go over your plastic pot, typically they don't have drainage, then that could be a problem if it's sitting in water. But for something like a maiden hair fern, it's beneficial. So that's why I would use it in that kind of situation. As long as you understand your watering habits and you get the hang of how to do it, there's no reason why you can't use a cash pot or something with less drainage like that. Until you have that mastered, though, I wouldn't suggest it, because it was really easy to overwater them. Either way, the different kinds of containers to use are great for understanding what kind of materials to use with different kind of plants. Those low to medium moisture plants are great with using like a terracotta pot or something that might absorb the moisture, versus the high water plants, you don't want to use an absorbing pot. You want to use something plastic or something that will allow the soil to hold on to moisture. And the last thing to consider is lighting. For example, is your plant sitting in front of a window or not? Is it away from a window? Is it under a grow light? Is it directly under a grow light? Is it away from a grow light? Those are the kinds of things to consider, because your moisture could evaporate faster if it's sitting in a hotter window or under a grow light, where the heat is what is also absorbing and evaporating the moisture. So if your plant is sitting in a hot south window, you're going to need to water that plant way more than a plant sitting in a north window, for example, where it's not getting as much heat from the sun as it would. So that's another thing to consider too. Also, under grow lights, for example, my office right now has a ton of grow lights in it. You can immediately tell there is a difference of warmth in that room versus if you go into my husband's office where I'm currently recording. There is a big difference in temperature and humidity when I walk in there, which means the moisture from those plants are getting taken out of the soil a little bit faster and evaporating because it is a little bit warmer in there. So all things to consider, medium, your container, pottery, and lighting when you are watering. Those are all factors to kind of think about and change as needed if you're having problems. Okay, let's move on to the fact of like, how do I know when to water? Or what can I do to figure out if I need to water or I don't need to water? There are a few different things you can do, and we'll go over those now. So the first one is moisture meter reader, which I usually recommend on every single podcast episode, simply because this is a tool to help you understand your watering pattern. It's not something you should be permanently using in your water routine every day, every single time. This is a tool to help you figure out your own pattern that you should then be able to keep up with on your own, if that makes sense. So for a little bit of context, moisture meter readers are not reading the physical moisture level in your soil necessarily. They use it, it's done by understanding the electricity that the liquid conducts within your soil. So higher moisture level means there are higher electrical currents. Therefore, that's why it's reading as a high moisture level. So totally depends on the accuracy of that tool too. So there have been controversy as to even if that's worth it to be using. So something to consider. I've also had it where I've tested it before and I just watered a houseplant, but it said there was low moisture and that means I needed to replace it. So I've had to replace my moisture meter reader a couple times. So they're not always 100% accurate, but it is a tool to use when you're first starting out trying to understand your moisture levels. I still highly recommend them because it does take the guesswork out of it, especially if you're still learning and it is a newer tool that you bought. But it is using electrical conductivity to understand the moisture levels in your soil, which is a fun fact, actually. The next thing you could do is use your finger or a small wooden rod or a chopstick or something. So your good old finger is the old standby, which most people will use. But if you don't want to get your finger dirty, you can use like a chopstick or a wooden rod or something to test it out. Typically, if you're feeling a dry crumbling soil, that means it's dry. It's ready to be watered again. If you are feeling a soil that is damp and cool, then that means that it does have some moisture in there still. If you can almost drain the water from the soil, that means there's still very high moisture in that soil. So those are kind of different levels to think about. If it's damp and cool, even to the touch on the top, then you don't necessarily have to water unless it's, you know, a high moisture plant. But a low moisture plant, you definitely want to avoid watering that. But if it's dry and crumbly, a good chunk of the way down or almost all the way down, then that might be a sign that you need to water. Same thing you could do with a chopstick or a small wooden rod. If you put it down there and pull it out and there is some, it feels damp and the rod looks damp, then that would be a sign that you actually don't need to water. But if it's still the same as it, you put it in, you took it out, it looks the same, then that might mean that it's very low moisture and that it is time to water again. It's a weird way to describe it, I understand, but just stick your finger in there and get used to it. And the last one is actually the one I learned from the garden center. So that is lifting the pot. And this is how I figured out how to water the hanging baskets, because I would just put my hand underneath all the hanging baskets and walk past with the hose and see which ones needed water again or which ones I missed. And then I would water them individually that way. And this kind of habit can be definitely done in your own house. So obviously some pots might be too big to do this with, and that's understandable. You're not going to be able to do this with all your plants, but some of the smaller plants you have access to, this is a great tool to be using. Because it doesn't require a tool. It's just you understanding your plant's needs, and you can really quickly figure out exactly what your plant feels like, heavy and light. So when you water your houseplant, pick up your pot and see how heavy it is. And then that way, when you're thinking, okay, I should probably water this now, you can go over, walk over to it and see, does it feel kind of heavy like it was before? Yeah, okay, then I don't need to water. Or it's like, whoa, it's really light, I was not expecting that. Then that means you water. So it's a really good way to figure out if you need to water it or not, is understanding what it feels like heavy and then what it feels like light. And then pretty quickly you can figure out when it needs to be watered. I do that all the time with mine. When I really don't know what to do, I use the moisture meter reader. If I really want to make sure and I really don't want to overwater a plant, I will do the moisture meter reader. But typically I'm lifting the pot, if anything, first. Okay. Let's get into the Instagram Q&A. Okay, I would like to remind everyone again that I usually put out the Instagram Q&A for any questions on the following episodes. Now that we're doing seasons, I'm going to be putting it out there ahead of time for all of the episodes that are coming up as to what kind of questions there might be. So for this one, I got one question that was multiple questions in one. So we're going to go through it kind of in three bullet points. So the question was, does water temperature affect plant growth, hot versus cold? Does the type of water you use affect or stunt the growth? For example, well water, city water, filter water, etc. So I'll go with the water temperature first. So you really, really want to use lukewarm water, room temperature water, or cool water. Going extremely hot or extremely cold is not healthy for the plant, its root system, or the microbiome. That being said, most garden centers water houseplants directly from the hose, which is typically pretty cold water, and there's not really any great negative effect to that. Besides, maybe down the road there could be issues. Typically at a garden center, the temperature is so high already, sometimes a cold bath for a plant could be nice and cooling and refreshing for it. So that might be a different environment. You just don't want to do ice cold water in your own home. So if you have the chance to just do lukewarm or even like just cool water, not necessarily hot water or cold water, either way will do fine. It doesn't need to be specific. You just don't want to go too hot or too cold. And then for the kind of water, so it was listed well water, city water, filter water. So typically tap water is what I would consider city water. So tap water and well water are fine for watering plants. Sometimes there are concerns with high levels of chlorine in tap water that are added to drinking water, And that can eventually cause browning tips on plants over long extended periods of time. If you're really concerned with that, you can kind of prevent it by leaving your watering cans out for about 24 hours to help evaporate that chlorine before watering your plants again. The one type of water that's actually really dangerous to plants is softened water. So this is because softened water is adding salt to your water, which can kill your plants. So if you think about it, salting roads outside can affect some landscape plants even. So you don't want to do the same thing. Obviously, it's on a different level. It's a much smaller level, but you really don't want to do that to your very sensitive indoor plants either. So softened water is the problem. And really the only solution is making sure you water it from a spigot that doesn't go through the softened water, probably a spigot on the outside of your house. Or you can use rainwater. So you could use rain barrels to catch rainwater and whatnot. And that would probably be one of the only ways to do that with the softened water, unfortunately. And then the other question was, does the type of water you use affect stunt growth? So yeah, temperature and any harsh chemicals or salt could stunt growth or kill your plant depending on the level, how long you do it, that kind of thing. If you're really, really worried about it and you really want to make sure your water is okay, you can get it tested through your local university extension. I know like UW-Madison does soil and water testing that you could go through there, and that would be probably what I would recommend. But for me, I've used city water, I think, or tap water most of my houseplants' lives, and I really don't have any issues. I believe plants like Calathea, for example, are really picky with their water, and they like pure, very pure water. And in that case, you'd probably want to let your water sit out before watering Calathea. I don't have the time or the patience for that, so I just watered them with regular tap water. It was mostly the lack of moisture and lack of humidity that killed the Calathea that I had, not necessarily the type of water I was watering with. All things to keep in mind, I think this podcast episode was hopefully going to help you understand the level of moisture that you need to think about for depending on the plant, depending on your environment, and depending on your medium, your pottery, all that stuff in order to help you make the best decision and understand your own watering patterns you need. If you have further questions, let me know though, but hopefully you enjoyed this podcast episode. Thank you. Hello, me again. I know this episode was, I think, one of the hardest ones I've done simply because it's so hard to articulate watering. It is so dependent on the environment, the person, the pot, the medium, all that stuff. So I'm glad I could go through and kind of type out different things to think about when you're considering watering in general and what might be a factor in the negative things or the positive things you're doing with watering. So hopefully this episode helped. The next episode, which is episode 85, is going to be the fall and winter houseplant prep episode, and that will be the last episode of this season. So hopefully you enjoyed this season so far, and hopefully you enjoyed the last episode. I'll talk to you later. Bye.